Break out the green beer. It's time. Hey, I'm all out. It's time for our St. Patrick's Day edition of This Week in Tech. Molly Wood, Joanna Stern, Nilay Patel. We're going to talk about that Samsung Galaxy S4 event and a whole lot more. Stay tuned. TWIT is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWIT.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for TWIT is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is TWIT, This Week in Tech, episode 397, recorded March 17th, 2013. U plus S equals us. This Week in Tech is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with colleagues and clients from anywhere. You can share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing, even from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code TWIT. And by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create a professional website, blog, portfolio, or now an online store. Check out their new commerce solution so you can start selling stuff immediately. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code TWIT3. And by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone, and enter TWIT. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPad, Samsung Galaxy, or other smartphone is worth at Gazelle.com. It's time for TWIT, the Irish version of TWIT. Ladies and gentlemen, on St. Patrick's Day, welcome to the show. We got a great panel for you. We're going to talk about the week's tech news with Nilay Patel, who is joining us from... Now, you've got a map of Chicago, but you're in Manhattan.
Yes, that's true. Oh, I'm from Chicago, so it's
I get it.
All right. Reminder of where I'm from.
He's an editor at TheVerge.com. What is your actual title?
Managing editor.
Managing editor.
And the one who tells everybody else what to do.
That's awesome.
I don't actually do anything, which is even better.
Awesome.
Right. Yeah.
Also with us, also from New York, Joanna Stern from ABC. Good to have you, Joanna.
Good to be here. In green.
In green. She in was green. Prepared, which is more than I could say for Molly Wood, who's not wearing any green at all.
I brought my Irish temper.
That'll work. She's actually Irish, so that counts.
I am. Totally.
Always on the great TV show on CNET. It's great to have you.
It's
haven't
great
seen
to
you
be
in
here.
Ages.
Yeah. I know it has been a long time, and this is going to be a pretty great panel.
Well, I had to invite you because you and I were in sync, unbeknownst to each other. We were both watching the Galaxy S4 launch out of New York City, which was Thursday. Nilay was there.
I was there. Joanna was there. Saw her there.
I was unfortunately there. Very unfortunately, I was there.
So.
I cannot tell you how terrible of an event it was.
Well, apparently Molly and I, who were watching from afar, both had the same reaction, which was not only whether it was sexist, but it was kind of tone deaf. It was like Samsung coming. What is that buzz? Is somebody?
Yeah, what is that? I don't know.
I'm turning off my phone.
Oh, yeah. Don't leave your phone on the desk. It's vibrating right into my ear.
You
know what they're doing? They're texting you saying, hey, you're on TWIT.
Yeah.
Oh my God! I can see you right now. You're on TV.
It is all notifications.
Wait a minute. This is St. Patrick's Day. You can't have a TWIT on St. Patrick's Day without some green beer. So we're gonna have now some magical harp.
What is that?
Molly Wood is pouring me some harp.
Why can you? My boobs are pouring you some harp. Apparently,
yes. Well,
like, why are you doing that?
Are you still breastfeeding green? I see. That's good. That's good. Oh, you know, why are you doing it like that? Give me some foam. Give me a head. I never thought I'd ask Burke for head, but there you go.
Mayday. Mayday.
Okay. Yeah.
And now for discussion of women's issues.
That gardener was hot. Yeah, so, we're
but it's not done. Fair
I'm
for me to say.
I'm gonna do my nails this whole time. You just tell you me when the show is over.
That was the funniest line.
I was gonna get some beer, except that there's too many calories, so I'm gonna go get a Zima real quick, and then I'll be right back.
Oh,
don't worry, S Health can tell you.
That's S-Health. Right.
You're right.
Man, what an event.
That was the funniest part. I think the funniest line in it, where they're talking about how you can float above the screen, not touch the screen. And why would you want to do that? Because my nails are drying.
My nails are wet, or I have lotion on my hands. I just can't do it.
I just ate something. I don't want to get my screen dirty.
I've had the lotion problem.
Sake, Joanna.
That does happen, but still.
So
I was actually telling Neil after, I mean, when I get my nails done, I have absolutely, that's when I use my phone the most, actually, because you're like sitting there, you have nothing else to do. And it doesn't mess up my manicure. The magazine pages mess up my manicure.
So really, it wasn't so much that it was sexist as it was just wrong.
Yeah, totally wrong. This was factually wrong.
So I got to figure that something like half the market for Samsung phones is are women.
I mean, considering half the market for any phone, it should be women. You know, the event was Samsung wanted to put on a big show. And I think actually the most telling thing about it was at one point they said, you know, we're going to launch this phone on, you know, 2 billion carriers in something like 155 countries. And that's when I began to, thinking about it. It's like, oh, that's why this was so terrible. Because when you have to talk to that many people, you can only end up at the lowest common denominator. Right? And the very sad truth is that the lowest common denominator is just stereotypes of people. It's everyone is like this, right? And that's, to me, it's you have to be smarter than that. You have to think to yourself, well, we're talking to this huge audience, but the people who are covering it, the people who are going to be there and talk about it afterwards are not necessarily the huge audience. They're people sitting in New York and tech fans around the world who are a little bit more sophisticated than 155 countries on 300 carriers. And I think that's where they really messed up.
I'm not even sure. I see what you're saying, but they had to know who they were presenting to, because like you said, the audience for the actual show that they put on, I'd be very surprised if that was many more people than tech media and total tech enthusiasts.
Half a million people watched live on YouTube.
And oh in the God, audience, really? It was unfortunately way more than just tech media or enthusiasts. I mean, it was tons of people. I mean, my biggest problem, as I told Neil, I was like, it was more the lack of wireless than the making fun of women or whatever else was going on in the presentation. But I mean, I ran into people there that I was like, why are you here? And like, oh, we got a ticket.
Yeah.
How did you get a ticket? How did people get tickets?
Oh, wow. I had no idea.
Press was like, you know, all press usually get into Samsung events. We register, we go through the whole process. But I ran into a lot of like tech PR people that were just like, I just wanted to come see this. Event. You know,
well, they rented Radio City Music Hall, which must have cost them $1 million, right? Yeah. Some huge number.
It's more than that. Yeah.
Seats 3,500 people. Right. I don't know if there's 3,500 tech journalists who could go see this, right? I mean, they've got to fill it with somebody.
Well, they also flew in I'm pretty sure all the tech media from around the world. I mean, I was sitting next to a Russian journalist on my left and a bunch of, I don't know where they were from on my right. They were I just knew they were equally as mad about not having wireless.
Yeah, there's a guy behind me who was like, I flew in from Germany for this. I mean, Samsung opened it up. I mean, they were holding contests to give fans tickets.
That's great.
So yeah, I mean, all of that is great. And I think ultimately what happens is when a giant corporation decides to deliver marketing messages to people, they forget that people are actually people and not a collection of demographic information like women. You know, like if you just reduce women to like, here are the activities women do with a phone. Here are concerns we've heard about using a touchscreen phone from women in surveys.
Go ahead.
Well, no, it's just you immediately lose the fact that people are actually people, and you start thinking of them as how can we effectively talk to these like disconnected, disembodied concerns, and then you generate this thing. And you know, there's the only silver lining is like at least it wasn't as stupid as some of the other stuff they've done, right? At least
what have they done that was stupider than that? I mean, the sad thing to me is that they were to be totally clear. I don't think any of this, as I said on CNBC, is going to affect sales of the phone at
all. It doesn't
matter,
really.
The chat room, right?
Yeah.
Phone's going to be absolutely fine.
Right.
Going to sell like gangbusters. Going to do great.
If anything, you know, they did a disservice to the phone by not just focusing on it.
They should have. Yeah. I mean, you could barely tell that they were introducing a new phone and a new phone that is a really great successor to a really popular phone. And then the saddest thing of all is that I think they were actually trying to sell the phone to women. And that's why they had so many examples of contexts in which women or at least one-dimensional cartoon character ladies might want to use it.
Right. So I think that's the thing. So they got, this is what I'm saying. This is where they improved. They actually had the product involved much more so. Like, you know, in 2011 at CES, they had a whole presentation. And the point of that presentation was, I'm going to get this order wrong. They were moving from digital humanism to human digitalism. Not even kidding. Like that. I spent an hour and a half blogging this. They had the kid from Billy Elliot dancing around and saying insane crap. And I don't know why that happened. Like, I still.
It was amazing, though.
It was amazing, and I had a lot of fun.
I can't think of another tech press conference where they had tap dancing. I think that's
I can, and they're all Samsung events.
Somebody in the chat room said nobody does weird like Samsung weird.
It was like stepping away from the part where it sort of did gradually just get more and more offensive. It was surreal. Like, it was beyond bizarre. I mean, I'm watching this thinking, well, at some point they're going to stop doing this, right? And then start to have like a
presentation. It got weirder.
And then every time I thought that, it just got weirder. And then there would be tap dancing. And then there would be like a, I mean, it just, I kind of don't understand, especially considering the money involved. Plus, why didn't you get a bigger star? Like, why did you get that orange guy from Smash that no one's ever heard of?
I have no
of?
Idea
like,
who just, he was.
No, I had to Google it.
Someone was like, oh, Will Chase. I was like, I have no idea who
you know
that
why?
Is.
Because Neil Patrick Harris could said no.
No, so it was
he
all Broadway.
Say no
let me ask Joanna, because Joanna and Eli were there. And one of the things I thought, and maybe you too, Molly, is that those of us watching at home, we're watching on a screen that this is a big, big, big theater with 3,500 people. It's a big show. It might be playing differently to the people in the live audience. Was that the case, you think, Joanna?
I was trying to find wireless for 50 minutes.
That's all you cared about.
So I have really no clue what happened. All I know is I kept picking up my head and I was like, what the hell is going on? And why is there no wireless?
Stay away from the brown acid, Joanna.
I mean, let me just give you an idea of how there was no wireless. I had an AT&T phone, no service in there. LTE, Verizon, not working. Apparently 3G Verizon was working, and that's what saved Neil I and the Verge bunch. And there was a press wireless, but that didn't work.
Were you trying to do a live blog, Joanna? Is that why you
I was trying to. We were trying to live blog for ABC News and
very
Yahoo. And I was just, sweating it out. But yes, I did keep picking up my head, and I was like, what is going on in here? And I mean, you know, the no one in the audience was really reacting. Like, people were clapping because they felt like they had to, I think.
Well, that was another production error that we at home noticed, which is they didn't mic the audience. So even if the audience was clapping, it always sounded like this.
Yeah.
Plus, hasn't everyone learned at this point that don't clap on stage when you're mic'd because you will always sound like the only person clapping in the room? Like, it was just so...
Neil Patrick Harris would have known that. I got to point out. He would have known
you
that.
You would have known that.
There was big applause, I think, when they announced 13-megapixel camera. There was big applause for that. And then it just kind of went in waves. I think people were sort of like, are we supposed to clap now at the end of the scene?
There's one moment of huge applause when they announced the phone would have LTE. And I still don't know why that happened. Like,
well, it was
LTE. They invited a bunch of Qualcomm engineers, and they're like happy, they're drunk.
No, I
they're
think
like, yes, again, we win. Technology.
It was LTE worldwide. Yeah. We've had LTE in the U.S., but internationally, often not. And they said LTE in all 155 countries. That's an applause line, if it's true.
Yeah, but people thought the LTE would work in the audience.
Yeah, it was Verizon 3G.
Joanna's rage about this is like the best thing I've ever heard.
I mean, really, I'm still so...
Did I mention the wireless?
Okay, which was worse, the Qualcomm CES keynote or the Samsung Radio City Music Hall debacle? Because the Qualcomm was pretty bad too.
I gotta go Samsung because there's bizarre and then there's bizarre and offensive.
Here might be the source
of
the
kangaroo for sure.
Yeah,
or whatever they had on there, a donkey. I don't know.
Yeah, here's the thing about chip companies doing keynotes. They have no idea what they're selling or how to sell it, right? They're like, our chips are fast and you can do stuff with them. And because they're faster, here's some awesome
stuff
you can do.
Right.
And here's some people you can relate to. So the Intel keynotes are always Crazy too. They had Aziz Ansari one year. I remember just like pretending to be a time traveler, and I remember having being like, this isn't affecting me. I don't know why I should. There's literally this audience is just watching this happen and wondering why you spent this money instead of like pushing chips forward. Samsung, on the other hand, I think they actually with the Galaxy S4 they have a similar problem. Is they have a phone with all of these features and all of these gimmicky, crazy features. Like, I don't think people want them. I told when I was going on CNN the next morning to talk about the phone, I told the person who was like the CNN makeup lady, I was like, oh, there's a new phone. It watches your eyes when you're reading a web page and scrolls for you. And she's like, I don't want that. She was like, that's freaky. And she started telling her friends, like, the new phone watches you. And they don't know how to sell it yet. And I think they concocted
trying to wave
all
off
of
Neil
these.
I. It's not working.
Yeah.
Do you think, Joanna, that it's a gimmicky?
I waved him off.
You think it's a gimmicky phone? Screen.
I mean, the idea that I think they wanted to focus on the gimmicky features, which is the wave and the scrolling and that kind of thing. I think there are some really useful and practical features. They didn't seem to really want to like focus on those. But I do think, yeah, this idea of wanting to tilt and wave your phone is they're just trying to come up with ways to say, look at how we've been innovative in this space.
We've been
saying for a while at CNET that Samsung has a little bit of feature-itis, right. Or maybe a lot of feature-itis, and that they really do think that the way to, our hearts is to just sort of keep cramming things into the phone as opposed to having a killer feature. And I almost feel like the saddest thing about this presentation was that they could have, I think, had the self-esteem in a way to say, this is a great phone. The Galaxy S3 was a great phone. It was the first like phone all on its own to outsell the iPhone. And this phone is just as great and then some, and worldwide LTE and things like a few features like that that are really important to people, like a really good camera, great battery life, and fast data. That's all you got to say.
I actually,
give me the phone with a release date and a price.
But the problem with
we
didn't get either of those. The problem with that is that it's kind of a commoditized thing now. Everything's all the new phones will be 1080p. All of them will be really fast, quad core or 8 core. All of them will have 2 gigs of RAM. And Samsung's Achilles heel is the design looks exactly like an S3 or a Note 2. They haven't really updated the design particularly.
Yeah, but Apple doesn't do that, either.
Yeah, but then you're up against the HTC One, which is gorgeous.
Right.
Yeah, but that phone is... That doesn't matter, right? I mean, the HTC hasn't sold any more phones. I agree with you. The HTC One is a beautiful piece of hardware. It has a tremendous screen, actually, I think. But I think the software, the average person isn't looking for a Flipboard on their home screen. And the people who want to buy gadgety phones, they're going to flock to the huge list of Samsung gimmicks because they're there. There's a list of Samsung gimmicks. And then they're going to have a phone with a big screen that has LTE. And that's what people want. And Samsung has the marketing budget to say, this is the phone with the big screen and LTE that can do all this stuff that the iPhone can't do. I think it's working. I think Apple's running a little bit scared. They had Phil Schiller gave those interviews to the Wall Street Journal and Reuters, I think.
Yeah.
The day before the event, they put up the new marketing site today, or yesterday, only an iPhone can do this stuff. I think Apple feels the heat from Samsung a little bit. So tone deaf, a little sexist, but effective, apparently so. And I think that's really interesting.
I think going back to that feature point, I wrote something about this on Friday, the headline being S Teach, because after I came out of that event, I just kept adding S to everything. I was saying it was an S mess of an event. I met Neil I after for drinks, and I was just saying S. I need an S drink. I was just going on and on.
What a pain in the S.
Oh, my God. Pretty much.
I need some S wireless.
I promise. S, not to make these jokes anymore.
You're fired, Joanna. That one's
fire
over
me
the line.
Again,
no, keep it coming.
But that was S-exist.
I think in terms of the features, I think Samsung had this same thing last year with the Galaxy S3. And I asked a bunch of my friends who bought the Galaxy S3. Well, not a bunch. I have 2 friends that own it. And I said, do you know what the pop-up video thing is? Do you know what I forget the name of the feature that allowed you to you'd be able to pop the video and watch it while you're web, scrolling and watching the web? Or did you know about Smart Stay? Or did you know about all these features? And they said, no, I have no idea what those are. And when I reviewed the phone last year, I said, there's a ton of features, but it took me a long time to figure out how to use them. And they're not very obvious when you first get the phone. So my feeling is that these features are great and maybe they'll market them this year. Maybe they'll just keep going after Apple in these marketing things. But how are people going to know to use these features, and are they going to take the time to learn them?
From a marketing perspective, it is smart of Samsung to try to differentiate. And that was one of the few positive things that I said about this presentation. They mentioned Android once and Google not at all. And
Are they distancing themselves from Android?
I think they, I think they're trying to differentiate themselves from the slew of Android phones. They're trying to create their own ecosystem, their own sort of proprietary app universe on that phone. And I think they're probably trying to give people a reason when they go into a Verizon store or an AT&T store to go to that phone as opposed to some other phone, and give actually good talking points to carrier salespeople when they're trying to sell that phone. So it is smart to say, listen, we have all these features that no other phone has. So the HTC One might be really pretty, but there's a lot of cool stuff, cool magic to work when you're trying to sell this phone to a consumer in a store.
Right. And I think, you know, the fact that they can do, 100 photos in 4 seconds, like you can demo that in a carrier store.
Right.
You can be like, look, you can remove photo bombs. I will say this.
That was a nice feature.
I think I'm with Joanna. I think some of the camera stuff actually got applause.
Yeah.
And I think that stuff is really interesting. I think people want to take better photos of their phones. Now, I don't know if any of it's going to work. There's a sense to this, and this is what Molly's saying about featureitis. I remember when Microsoft used to do this with Word or with Windows, and they would demo all of these features, endless features, to, you know, basically FUD out the competition. So, you know, don't wait for the Mac to get this feature. Don't wait for WordPress to get this feature. Here's a demo of something that works like it in Word or in Windows. And they did this throughout the 90s. There's a sense of that here. It's like, look at all the features. Like, you want to use a Fitbit with an iPhone? Guess what? We made an armband and a scale, and now we have S Health.
I thought that was interesting.
Is that real? Is that going to happen?
Yeah.
Is anyone going to buy Samsung's Bluetooth scale?
Maybe.
I don't think so.
No?
I really don't. I think they're going to – I mean, I don't. I think people are invested in the Nike system. I think there's a lot of people invested in the Fitbit system. I think those companies actually know what they're doing, and they're building good products. And I think Samsung
and
is like –
they work with the Samsung phone, so you don't need to get a Samsung solution.
But they've just set up like a Samsung area Best Buy, and then people are like, oh, I can add this onto my phone, and they're going to buy it.
Yeah, it's like buying a case. Well, I'm going to get the wristband and the scale, too.
It lends a little more legitimacy to the phone. If you can walk in and, like you said, Joanna, if the little Samsung mini store is there and there's all this other stuff, you're like, wow, Samsung really has it going on. They're just like Apple.
And there is no Nike.
I think that's the thing. I think just like Apple. And I think, you know, all these features, they're sort of what they're going after Apple with these features, but to me, they have to now focus on those features to market it, which is what Apple would do. And they would also make those features really easy to find and use. And that's how I think they'll really win with the featureitis. I love featureitis.
You said two words, Neeli, earlier that I think are actually at the root of all of this marketing budget. Interesting article on ASIMCO. Horace Dediu is talking to an economic analyst from a French or European magazine, and they came up with this graph, which shows that Samsung's marketing spend is proportionate to its income. In other words, the more they make on the phone, the more they spend on marketing. Apple's the opposite. The yellow line is Apple. It's been going down as a percent of sales. So Apple's marketing budget is fairly constant. Samsung's exploding. They've got a ton of money to spend. And sometimes when you have a lot of money to spend, you just spend it on stuff that may not be useful.
They're spending something like $400 million just to launch the phone. Right? That's not the budget for the lifetime marketing.
That's comparable to the amount of money Microsoft spent to launch Windows 7.
Yeah.
Huge amount of money.
They're very proud of it. It's more than Apple's ever spent, so I've heard. And that's just a massive amount of money. And I think that what they want to do is they want to cement themselves as the Android phone. I think there's been a lot of stories about Galaxy taking over as a brand name from Droid. I think that's tremendously important. And I think they want Android to be the underpinning. They're basically getting Android for free, right? Google spends all this money developing it. They take it and they do whatever they want with it. And I think they want to be the Android phone. And I think all these competitors like HTC or LG or whoever, Sony, they're building all these other... You're seeing Android fragmentation happen. I think it already did happen. And now I think what you're seeing is consolidation of the market onto Samsung's version of Android. And I think, they've got, Android 4.2.2 on the phone. So they're not
the latest
behind
version.
Right at this second. But I suspect the phone's going to come out in April, May. That's what I've been hearing. And right after that, Google's going to have I/O and have the next version of Android. So they're going to be
behind again. Android 5.
But it doesn't matter. Right, and it just doesn't matter.
It's a two-horse race,
normal people don't, I don't think, care about that.
No.
Right.
No. I mean,
I think some Samsung, I think some Galaxy buyers do because that is an enthusiast phone.
Right.
And I think that they'll be a little disappointed. But the majority of people at this point, honestly, I think the majority of average consumers are walking into stores and they're seeing iPhone or Galaxy S, whatever. And that is the decision that they're going to make.
Jenna, is your experience like mine? The only other phone I see on the subway in New York is an S3. iPhones and S3s. And that's it.
Yeah.
And every time I see a guy with an HTC One, I want to like stop him and be like, "How did this happen? Walk me through.
Where did you buy it?
I honestly don't understand." Like, and I, you know, the One's a great phone, or the One X, I guess. That was a great phone. The new One's a great phone, but I just don't expect to ever see them around.
How many of you see BlackBerry Z10s on the subway? let me ask you.
Are you using that thing?
I'm rocking the Z10, baby.
I see way more of
are
these.
Are you really? Because I have.
Oh, that's a real BlackBerry with a keyboard.
Too legit.
The funny thing is about this, it looks just like an iPhone, but with less.
A lot.
So it's like, why would you buy it? I don't understand.
You want to talk about your review unit? So I have one. I had it charged and I used it, and then the battery died, and I have not charged it again.
Well, it doesn't take long to really understand it. If you're in the BlackBerry world, if you have to use BBM or BIS, then this is the phone
this
for
has
you.
Been dead for 3 weeks.
Yeah, but if
that is not the phone for you, even then that is not the phone. Believe me, that is the phone that I used exclusively in Barcelona. And there's an episode coming up on Tuesday of Always On that is the road test of it in Barcelona. And let me tell you, even if you have to use those, I beg you to wait for the Q10. Even then, you may not be happy, but there is no reason to buy a Z10. I'm sorry, it's terrible.
I have to admit, using the Z10 makes me think, oh, I'd like to look at the Q10 anyway.
The Q10,
I love the software keyboard on the Z10. Why are we calling it the Z?
That's what they call it. Because they're Canadian. Because they're from Canada.
Oh, I love that.
They should have Z Health.
They should have Z Wireless. Okay.
Yeah. Z Wireless.
Longer lifespan from today. HTC or BlackBerry? Which company lasts longer?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, it really has become a two-horse race, hasn't it? It's Samsung and Apple, and then a lot of also. What, you didn't even mention Nokia? They're still in the game, aren't they?
Oh, I think Nokia is definitely in the game. I do. I think the Lumia 920 is a phone that I would buy. I really like that phone. I'm really sorry that we broke it because I wanted to use it.
How did you? Because you do these torture tests. What was it that happened to the 920?
I drove a snowmobile over it.
Well, you know, darling, I don't think that's really a good idea. Just off the top of my head, I doubt there's
it
many a phone.
Happen.
But can't you use that one with gloves?
You can use the. Don't you know? Didn't you? Weren't you at the Samsung event? You can use the S4 with gloves.
I know you can use the S4, but I think you can also use the Lumia with gloves.
You
right?
Can. One that's of the right. All of the Nordic phones you can use with gloves.
I have some opera gloves in my closet right there that I was just about to grab. You're like, darling.
All right, well, so the fact that Samsung barely mentioned Android leads us to the second story, which we're going to take a break to talk about. Of course, Andy Rubin, moving on, the guy who's been the head of Android for 10 years since before Google bought it. And what does that all mean? But that's our next subject, and we'll get to that in a moment. Nilay Patel is here from The Verge, from Always On, Molly Wood, Always Ranting, Molly Wood, and Joanna Stern of BlackBerry. ABC. Which BlackBerry is that?
It's the bold.
Wow. Do you still use that? Does ABC make you use that?
They don't make me, but they gave this to me, and I love using it.
Joanna's very businesslike. The other day I was with you after the Samsung event. We were hanging out. We were having drinks. We're talking about it. And she literally, like, BlackBerry'd me in the face. She was like, hold on. And I was like, you just dissed me for a BlackBerry.
I like a phone you can use two thumbs with. I do. I like that.
I carry an iPhone and the BlackBerry right now.
Oh, you're just like the woman in that Samsung ad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should get getting my nails done. It's for chicks.
You know, the unicorn apocalypse ad where they have the one woman in sales or accounting or whatever. I have two phones. I have my home phone, my iPhone, and I have my business phone, my BlackBerry. You're like that.
I am like that.
Why don't you carry one phone that does it all, the Samsung Galaxy S3?
Maybe I'll care. Well, no, I think the Samsung Galaxy S4 does it all. The Galaxy S3 had couldn't wave and support iScroll and all that. So that's why there's
the pool. Thank God.
And then you and your lady friends can have
two phones. I'm with you. One of them's not a BlackBerry, although I have taken those keyboard BlackBerries. Those are like our CNET loaner phones when you're going overseas.
Really?
If you don't. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then, you know, if you don't have a company phone, they'll give you a BlackBerry.
So
to take
somebody
overseas.
Bought a million.
I love those phones.
Somebody bought a million BlackBerries just this week. Who was it? Nobody knows.
BlackBerry.
Just to get the sales figures up.
Yeah, have you heard of Rogers Canada? I'm
sure, that's probably who it was. Maybe. It was a Canadian. It had to be a Canadian.
The hardware keyboard. If there was a great Android phone with a hardware keyboard, I told this to Matias Duarte last year, who does the design of Android. I said, please, a great Nexus phone with a hardware keyboard, and I will stop carrying.
And he said, you are one of maybe 400 people who would buy that.
Yeah.
No, he was really used
to it. I think that would sell like hotcakes. I think that the reason that, in fact, to answer that earlier question about HTC versus BlackBerry, the reason that BlackBerry may end up triumphing is that people will buy the Q10 for that physical keyboard.
No way. Are you kidding? You know, they could buy right now. They could go buy a Droid 4. They could have bought a Droid 3. They could have bought a Droid 2.
Let me tell you, I had a Droid 1 and a Droid 2, and I put hands on a Droid 3, and I'd rather die than buy that phone.
Yeah,
the camera
that's right. I'm with Molly. I have the same experience.
Where it's awful, it's janky. Yeah. Janky.
Well, super janky.
The first, the original Droid and the Droid 2 were competitive phones, right? And they didn't sell enough to justify turning them into flagship phones. They all turned into niche products. Like, I think there's a segment of older people and people who had hardware keyboards before who are nostalgic for it and think they're more productive. You're old.
Old in spirit.
This is sexist.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm still rocking the Microsoft.
That was S bull.
I'm still rocking the Microsoft Kin. Now there was a phone, nice keyboard, beautiful form factor. I love
useless software.
And they killed it in 2 months.
The only reason that nobody is still using Droids is because Droids were bad. And even the people who had them when they were competitive phones, they fell apart so quickly and the cameras were awful and they bogged down. But it doesn't mean that people don't want those keyboards. And I do still see people like reluctantly using the Droid 4 because they want the keyboard.
Right.
And I think that is enough of a selling point. If BlackBerry gets the damn Q10 out the door and HTC continues to just like not market.
I actually agree with you because this, while I'm not crazy about this phone, the BlackBerry 10 is not bad. It's fast, it's snappy, it's got some nice features. I think maybe this on a Q10 form factor with a keyboard might be a good phone.
Yeah. And by the way, I think that software keyboard is like the best software keyboard out there.
It's okay.
On the Z10?
Great.
It's okay. You can throw, on the Z10. You make suggestions and you throw them in.
I never really used that, but I was able to type way faster on that than I could type on the iPhone older Galaxy.
You have small lady fingers with nice nail polish.
I do, actually.
My sausage fingers, I hit 3 keys with 1 stroke.
Look at that manicure.
Look at that. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, Joanna. Let's go out manicures and blow dries.
She has to. She's in real TV, Molly. She's in real television.
No, Molly's way in more real TV probably than I am. But I get my nails done once a week, and I don't know how I've been surviving without S-Wave or Airwave.
Whatever the hell they're going to call it.
Why didn't they just call it S-Everything? Why did they, like, some things were like not S, like that's Airwave.
But Joanna, don't you find it's emasculating to look at a phone like that? Don't you find that emasculating?
I wish I could wear Google Glass.
Then you wouldn't be emasculated.
Phones are emasculating. That's what he said.
That's what Sergey said at TED.
All about glasses.
He said it at TED.
Yeah. That was such a weird way to go. And frankly, kind of sexist. Kidding. That was a joke.
God.
Well, it was.
Although, really, that's your thing about phones, that they might be emasculating?
Emasculating.
Like, there's a lot of reasons that I might want Google Glass, but to sort of just be like, phones are over.
If you think looking over people's shoulder while you talk to them is masculating, then you're crazy. And you'll look crazy wearing them.
Yeah. I'm really wondering what the next ad is.
Thank you, Joanna. See, real broadcasters know it's the ads that make the show flow.
I don't know that that's what she meant, but you run with it.
I'm taking it. I'm going to take it. I don't know what she meant. Our show today brought to you by our good friends at Citrix, who do that fabulous GoToMeeting. Actually, there are people waiting with bated breath because we're going to announce the winner of our iPad giveaway in a moment. But first, let me tell you a little bit about GoToMeeting. It lets you work face-to-face no matter where you are. I mean, successful teamwork is the key to successful business. And when you meet face-to-face, you are working more effectively. You're getting the job done. But not always easy nowadays. businesses spread out all over the globe, clients all over the place on the go. So GoToMeeting makes it possible to work with them wherever they are, even on an iPad or an iPhone. It is the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate online. And with HD faces, you're actually seeing each other from wherever you are, wherever and whenever you need to connect. It's just a remarkable tool for meetings. You can now present on the iPad, which I think is fantastic. It uses the camera for HD faces. It uses a microphone and the speakers, so you don't have to need a phone line or anything. You can go out in the garden and enjoy a lovely GoToMeeting. I have to say, it's a great way to share screens, work on documents in real time, see the people you're meeting with. It's actually better than meeting in person. I love it, and I love it so much. We arranged to give you an iPad to somebody. We asked you to tweet where this winter you would like to host a meeting, hint, hint, using GoToMeeting, where you would and why you would and maybe who you would like to meet with. We asked you to use the hashtag TwitiPad and GoToMeeting. And we have, wait a minute, we don't have a winner. We got another week. I thought we were going to have a winner. Oh, that's good news. It's not over yet. So here's the deal. Just tweet where you would like to use GoToMeeting and with whom and why. Make sure you use hashtag TwitiPad, there's two hashtags, and hashtag GoToMeeting. We'll do a random drawing of all the entries next week. So you've got it's going to end this Thursday, March 21st at 11:59 p.m. Pacific, and then we'll announce the winner next week in the show. I thought we were going to do it this week, so that's good. You got another week to do it. Thursday, March 21st, 11:59 p.m. Pacific is the deadline. Contest open to U.S. residents. For contest rules and regulations, visit our inside.twit.tv blog and click the link that says contest rules. And don't forget to try GoToMeeting. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the try it free button. You got 30 days free when you use the offer code TWIT. Go to meeting. And good luck winning that iPad. I got it right here, but I'm not going to show you because you didn't win it yet. You got to win it. But by the way, speaking as long as we're still on the phone thing, seeing rumors, Neil, I don't know if you had this on the verge of this Nexus 5. We know that Google I/O is coming up in a couple of months. Do you think it's conceivable that they'll have a next generation Nexus phone?
I think they have to. I think that the Nexus 4 has been a bit of a failure. Actually, there's a lot of people on our team who have them. The battery life is bad.
You can't take out the battery.
Yeah. You can't take out the battery. Normal people. Yeah. The battery life is bad. Everyone on our staff complains about it constantly.
The thing to remember,
this
is different. This is the difference of this. Google wanted to make a cheap phone. This is a $300 phone. Admittedly, it's the Google Experience phone, but I don't think they were saying this is the phone you want if you have a Google. This is the inexpensive Google phone, so developers and people internationally can afford it. That's a very different thing.
Are you using it as your primary?
Well, I carry both, but I primarily use that one, yeah. I carry really? Two phones, but
there's no
I don't
LTE.
Have any problem with it.
There's no LTE. That's
the biggest problem.
That's
for me.
A non-starter.
You yeah. know what though? So, I've had so many problems.
The camera
with the LTE
is not
the 3G
good. I think that, and that's really important.
Camera sucks.
Sorry.
I don't.
Well, better
I really,
than the last
this
one.
Is a little bit of a tangent, but I really don't know why manufacturers aren't going after the iPhone more on camera. Like, it's one thing to come out and say you have 13 megapixels. Big
I
deal.
I agree.
Talk to me about the sensor. Like, I couldn't believe.
But they're using the same sensor. They're using Sony sensors. This is the same sensor. It's something. There's magic sauce in what Apple's doing.
Yeah. There is magic sauce because there is not a phone on the market that can touch the iPhone 5 in terms of the camera. And that is the reason that I'm still carrying that thing, even though I think it's annoying and like kind of lame feeling and the screen is tiny. Like, I couldn't be more over the iPhone except for the
for
camera.
For the camera. I'm with you.
And so actually, it's funny. I just switched from Android to the iPhone. I had the Nexus, the Galaxy Nexus, which was a great phone for a while, but like you're saying, the camera was terrible. The battery life was never very good. And I've been really happy with the iPhone for the last month. So
I think what you're seeing here is there isn't a huge difference between any of these phones anymore.
Yeah.
But I do think that it does seem like Apple's doing something with the camera that makes it better. In fact, I'd had hopes that HTC's One with its 4-megapixel camera, its 2-micron pixels, might be a better camera.
Yeah, it's an ultra pixel.
The ultra pixel. But you, on The Verge, you had a review, first review I've seen. I don't know how you did it, Neil. But it said, but the camera, according to your reviewer, was terrible.
I mean, it was not, I don't think it's terrible.
Disappointing.
It's not measured it's against their claims. The reality doesn't match the hype. And I think
is it possible that you had a pre-pro unit that wasn't yet tuned?
You know, maybe, but if HTC is handing these things out to reviewers and saying, go review this, then there's not much we can say. I mean, like, who knows what Verizon's going to do to this phone when they release it, or AT&T. You know, I had a Galaxy Nexus, the unlocked Galaxy Nexus, and it was fine. And then I had a Verizon LTE Galaxy Nexus, and it was a total piece. So, you know, we had the manufacturer's version. Maybe AT&T will make the camera better, but I really would not hold my breath for that.
By the way, your clock...
Yeah, that's probably the Android phone. Like, I was really hoping that the Galaxy S4 would be not so plasticky and cheap feeling.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, the clock is broken, Leo.
I was going to just say that you need a battery because it's completely.
I haven't dragged a ladder from over there to over there.
Okay, that's just. I thought it was me, but okay, good. anyway, Andy Rubin, moving on, in a bit of a shock, actually, announced this week, Wednesday. He's going on to places unknown, and the former head of Chrome and Chrome OS, actually not former, he still is head of Chrome and Chrome OS, Sundar Pichai, is taking over at Android. What does this mean?
I think we've been doing a lot of research into what's happening over there and talking to a lot of people. My gut says that Android is too big and too important for it to be a silo at Google anymore, which I think it has been. And I think Google realizes that it has a real chance to go after Windows and to go after Microsoft. I think you were just saying you're not a big fan of Windows 8. And the head of Samsung said Windows 8 isn't hitting with consumers. I've heard that from a lot of companies. So I think Google realizes that everyone's poking around at Chrome OS. We have what is effectively a dominant platform on the web. People who use our services don't use other services. And we can make a real play to be like the dominant platform in computing in total if we integrate our products. And I don't think Rubin was fond of that idea. I think Android was his baby and he was moving forward with it.
So you think we're going to see a merger of Chrome OS and Android? Google has two OSs, Android and Chrome OS. You're going to see some sort of unification?
I don't think they're going to flip the switch tomorrow, but I think we'll see. I think if I look at Android and the way it handles the web, I have a Nexus 10, a Nexus 7, a Nexus 4, and I actually think browsing the web in Chrome on those devices is less good than using the web on the iPhone in Mobile Safari or on the iPad with Mobile Safari, and I think that's kind of a huge shame. And I think you can. It's weird that Android has these other alternative apps and they don't really depend on web technology as much as they could, and that Android isn't being used to push the web stuff forward the way that Google should be using it. So I think maybe not a direct integration, but I think we'll see a lot more sharing, a lot more collaboration between those teams.
Why'd you say I hope so, Joanna?
I was just reviewing the Pixel and I've been playing around with it, and I think so much of the time, like, why can't I run why is there not some sort of melding here on the app front, right? Like, it's confusing. And I think, actually, again, talking about that Matias Duarte interview I did last year, he said that he wanted Android, again, he's the head designer of Android. He said that he wanted Android to run on every kind of computer. And when I asked him, I said, well, that sounds a lot like Chrome, because you've got Chrome on laptops now. And at the time, they had the little desktop, too. Did I still have that anymore? The desktop box? I forget.
The Chrome box.
They kind of have it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see it for sale in the Play Store, but I guess they have it. Yeah.
That was definitely it looks exactly like.
So to me,
that was definitely
like
the Eric Schmidt. the Eric Schmidt vision also was Android on everything, Android in refrigerators, Android as a platform, an operating system, and an integrated system. But it seems weird to me that Ruben wouldn't be the guy to take that vision and run with it. If anything, it feels like maybe they've decided to double down more on Chrome OS, or they've decided to kind of move in that direction. That the Google, they're doing some kind of integration. They do seem to be realizing that all these separate things, like killing Google Reader but folding feeds into Google Plus, driving users, corralling people into different directions, that maybe that is sort of a unification effort. But the fact that Ruben is leaving makes me wonder if the unification is centered a little more on Chrome.
Boy, if you were going to bet between Chrome OS and Android, if somebody said, well, which is the stronger of the two, you'd say it was Android.
You'd always say it was Android. Absolutely.
So I don't understand why the Chrome.
Would you? Time out. Why would you say that?
No. I would say that Android has the better brand recognition and the better market penetration. But I would also say that if I were at Google, I'd want to pour my resources into Chrome because Chrome has the better potential to make money for them. Like Android doesn't make very much money.
Well, there's that, but Chrome is their product, man. You go and you download Chrome from Google, and it's Google's, and it works as Google. Android is great, but we've just been talking. Android is Samsung's product.
They've lost control of Android.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm saying. I have a feeling that if they're centralizing on anything, it's on the product that they control, they own, that they're gathering your data from, that they can make more money off of, and that Android actually might be getting pushed aside a little bit, and that's why Ruben left.
Either that or they're going to start a new project at Google with robots.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the letter was Larry's letter, Larry Page's letter was more moonshots. I mean, and he's staying at Google. And I think it's very clear that he's so far. We don't know.
I mean, he could have been forced. That's the same. You get the same letter either way. We wish him the best of luck in all of this. I mean, you get the same letter. The CEO is not going to say, yeah, we fired him. That guy was
loser. Stephen Sinofsky didn't stay at Microsoft.
Well, that's true.
Forrest didn't stay at Apple. That's true. I mean, they're gone. They're leaving.
Marissa Myers stayed until she left, though.
Yeah, but she had a different role. She wasn't the, you know. She wasn't the same position.
My theory is because Andy Rubin's big into robots. That's why the Android logo is an Android. He loves robots. His whole house is roboticized. He has, when you ring the doorbell, a robotic arm rings a gong. He is into robots, and I think this is Google's next initiative is robots. I don't know why they haven't done more with robots up to now. So it's a win-win.
Because what you really want is a Google robot following you around, recording your activity, and displaying targeted ads.
Yeah,
that's what Google really wants.
That's called Google Glass. What are you talking about? You have to follow you around. You wear it on your head.
Perfect.
as long as you got your head, you got glass.
It could be nothing more than the fact that Android is mature and they feel like they figured out what they want to do.
He's been there 10 years.
They want Andy to do other things. And he might be bored. I mean, it could. You know, sometimes it's just that he's bored.
So
I'll do this right now just for everybody's benefit.
Okay.
He's going to work on a watch. Google Watch rumors start with.
I think that's the one thing he almost certainly is not going to be doing. All right, let's take a break. I want to talk about Google Reader, why they killed it, what your theory is. This was because, you know, they did the Andy Rubin thing, and then like 3 hours later they announced Reader, and I thought, oh, this is smart. They're going to bury the Rubin story with another story that's going to drive people nuts, but who knows?
Normal people care about, I guess.
Normal people don't care about either one of them. Normal people want to know how they can use their phone when their nails are still drying. That's what normal people want to know.
That's true. Actually, all I care about is the gardener problem. Just because I don't want my video to keep playing when I'm looking at the gardener. That is so annoying.
I know. I'm ogling the pool boy.
I do wish I had some wine, though.
Yeah.
Me too.
Was the pool boy hot?
The pool boy should be.
Neil apparently loved it. There was also a lot of people on stage.
There was just like, I kept wondering, like, is that the MC? Is he now dressed up like a dad? Is now he over there dressed up like a traveler?
Why is the Chinese guy now speaking English perfectly? What is the story? What is the story?
I will say this. There was a little bit of self-awareness to all of that.
They kept saying, get the joke. We're joking. That's the same person, but she's not wearing gloves. Too much of that.
Yeah.
Like, you okay, saying get it a bunch,
get it?
Being aware of how bad your jokes are.
There was a lot of this.
Jokes any better?
Hey, I'm telling a joke.
Yeah.
And the guy's not on Smash anymore anyway. Guy. They killed the Joe DiMaggio character off. He's not there anymore.
So you watch Smash is what you
love.
I'm
Smash.
Like, I don't even know what you're talking about right now.
You love Smash.
So what you're admitting is that you watch Smash.
Does that make me gay?
No.
It just matters.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. I like Smash.
I tried, man. I did. I made a wholehearted effort to watch Smash.
I feel any TV show where people burst into song at random moments is fine with me.
Oh my God, that makes me so uncomfortable. I have this weird, it's almost like a phobia. Like I get really embarrassed when people start singing on TV shows, like because it's, I don't know, I just am always like, no, please God, stop.
I think it's fabulous. I really like Smash. It's got Angelica Houston. It's got singing. It's got dancing. It's sexy. It's good. It's a good show.
I'll try it again, man. There's a word for when you see people on television embarrass themselves and then you yourself are embarrassed.
It's called a Samsung keynote.
It's like Vaja or something like that. And that's what Smash makes me feel. I'm just tremendously embarrassed for all of them all the time.
If I could figure out a way to have this show periodically break out in a song, I would.
I'm surprised it does it more often because it doesn't take much prompting to get Leo to burst into song.
Oh, Danny boy,
he's getting ready.
The pipes are calling. No, what we do is we break out into commercials.
Oh, beer time. Nice.
Time for a green beer. Go ahead. You may enjoy one while I talk about Squarespace.com. Everything you need to create an amazing website at Squarespace.com. In fact, they've added another feature that makes it even better. You've seen Squarespace. We've showed it for you before. It's if you're creating a blog, a portfolio, it's hosting plus the best content management software out there. So it's everything you need. And now they've added e-commerce. So it makes it so easy to set up your own store, so affordable too, on Squarespace.com. Fast merchant account setup. You can accept payments right away within minutes, credit card or debit. A single interface for order management, tracking orders, providing customer email updates, printing shipping labels, coupons. They take care of all the taxes and all the different tax codes and all that. They handle that for you. For physical goods or digital goods, this is the easiest way to set up a store. In fact, I feel sorry for these companies that have been around for a while with these online stores. This is amazing. Look at the cost. So there's three pricing here. Well, first of all, you can go there and try it for free for 2 weeks. You don't need a credit card. You don't even need our offer code. Just go to squarespace.com. Set up your site. They've got importers for WordPress, TypePad, Blogger, so they can get all the data in. And that's everything, including comments, images. All the links are preserved. So you'll really get a sense of what your current site might look like on squarespace.com. Then, after a couple of weeks of trying it and playing with kicking the tires, if you decide to buy, that's when you want to look at these pricing. And I got to say, it's fantastic. Oh, I touched the screen. My mistake. Wow, that surprised me. So standard price, if when you buy an annual plan, $8 a month. The unlimited plan, which is right now the most popular, gives you unlimited pages, galleries, unlimited blogs, unlimited bandwidth. You will never get a bandwidth bill. If all of a sudden, you get slashdotted or we point a lot of people to you, no problem. First of all, you can't bring a Squarespace site down. Second of all, you've got unlimited bandwidth plus unlimited storage, a mobile website. When you buy an annual plan, you get the custom domain name free. They'll hook it up for you. That's $16 a month purchased annually, $20 month to month. But now look at this new e-commerce account. Everything you need to do your own store built in. All the Squarespace templates work with it. You get the mobile store as well as a desktop store, fully integrated. Physical products, unlimited. Digital products, unlimited. Squarespace does not take a cut of your sales. They just ask $24 a month when you buy an annual plan or $30 month to month. That is a great deal. I want you to check it out. Squarespace.com. Click try it free. When you decide to buy, do buy an annual plan because you'll get the best savings. And you can take 10% off right off the top when you use our offer code TWIT3. Three for the month of March. TWIT, the number 3 for the month of March. Squarespace.com. Try it and then set up your store. You are going to love it. Let's talk to Tom Merritt. He's in the other room right now. With a little bit on what's coming up this week on TWIT.
Hey, Leo, here's a look at what we'll be keeping an eye on in the week ahead on Tech News Today. Wednesday, March 20th, GigaOhm structured data kicks off in New York. Might be a couple things come out of that. Also, Thursday, March 21st, Ignition Mobile happens in San Francisco. And that's the anniversary of the first Twitter post that came up on the internet in 2006.
Wow.
Friday, March 22nd, Eric Schmidt is planning a trip to Myanmar, a.k.a. Burma.
Great.
The BlackBerry Z10 goes on sale for AT&T at $200. The Sony Xperia Tablet Z with LTE hits NTT Docomo in Japan. And the Nintendo Wii Mini arrives in the U.K. That's a look at the week ahead. Back to you, Leo.
Thank you, Tom. Molly, you and Tom are doing a show now together.
We are. I'm muted. Sorry.
You're back together again. It's so great.
I know. We're getting the band back together. It's called It's a Thing.
And it's just a thing.
It's just a thing. It's just our show about things that we think are a thing.
It's just a chance for... Is it audio only right now or...
Right now it's audio only, yeah. And it's like the loosey-goosiest kind of trend spotting. Like things that we're kind of like, you know what? That might be sort of a thing. Like people are really into burgers in L.A. or... not spraying windshield wiper fluid on other cars behind them. Stuff like that.
Where can we find it?
Sometimes there are actual things to real trends. It's at itsathing.me.
Itsathing.me.
Wow.
or Twitter, like twitter.com/itsathing. It's a lot of, we're having a lot of fun.
I love
it. Sounds like it's going to be a thing.
It's a thing.
I hope so.
It's definitely a thing.
Yeah.
It's going to be my thing.
This week, whiskey and windshields.
We have a segment called It's Your Thing.
It's your thing. Do what
I know. We got to somehow, we got to like, we need to do a Kickstarter just to raise the money to license that song.
Yeah, because that'd be great.
Because that's going to be expensive.
So it's like when people say, is that a thing? You say, yes, it's a thing.
Yes. We go, yes, that is a thing. We have identified that as a thing. We talked about, so we talked about like cocktail trends. We recorded one that was sort of about how shrubs are a thing in cocktails right now, or food trends or fashion trends.
This.
Yeah. It couldn't be more general, but I also like, we did a recent show where I talked about how I think, you know, that we're the web is maturing to a point where we don't feel like we have to tolerate comment trolls. So there's a lot of conversation about comments and how to deal with trolls. That's a thing right
now.
So it's, you know, I mean, sometimes it's kind of serious and then sometimes it's totally goofy.
It's time to be a thing. If it's not a thing, it should be a thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, sometimes we're trying to create a thing.
It's a good idea.
But subtly.
So there's shows about nothing, but yours is a show about thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a show about things that are things.
Sounds like you have a lot of power to wield there, where you're like, well, this shall be a thing.
I declare this a thing.
Oh, yeah, maybe we'll be tastemakers.
Ooh. Yeah. Thumbs up or thumbs down. It's not a thing. It's a thing.
Not a thing.
Not a thing.
Tequila, like, for example, tequila is a thing. Tequila is the new bourbon. That's good. But mezcal is an even bigger thing than tequila, and that's bad.
That's not a thing.
Yeah.
It's,
I mean, I'm just saying, I've been watching a lot of House of Cards.
Love that
show. It definitely seems like I could call
it. That's a thing.
Molly. This will be a thing. Molly. You'll regret it.
Isn't that awesome?
If I can promise you that this was a thing.
I am sad because I have watched.
You also need to have the thing from Adam's Family.
I'd be like, I don't know. Do you know the guy who licenses the It's Your Thing song?
I promise you it will be done.
I finished House of Cards and I'm sad because I can't wait to the next season. It's really such a good show.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
For a long time, I was talking like
episode,
this.
It's really bad.
I couldn't stop talking like this for some reason. Every time I watched that show, I'd be talking like this for a while.
Yeah, it's good. That's important.
That. You could do that all day, Leo.
It's a nice accent. But what I like about it is he seems like a nice guy. He eats barbecue and everything, but then he's deep down, he's devilish.
Yeah.
He's a
bro. Would you also stop and just address the camera in the middle of the day?
Yeah, I do. I did that on TNT the other day. I said, meanwhile, what Molly doesn't know. Yeah. That's a thing.
She's not a thing.
Kudos to Netflix. Because
I'm not a thing, Samsung.
I think Netflix is making that transition between movies by mail to streaming movies now to a content creator. They're the new HBO. You think they're going to pull it off?
They already are, I think, right?
Yeah.
I think they already are. And I think we're in the midst. I think what we're seeing right now is the birth of the next networks. Like the next ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox are being born right now, except their names are Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Twit, Google.
Twit.
I just thought of a great segment for your thing. the next big thing.
It's a thing.
And it's sponsored by Samsung.
Sponsored by Samsung. The next. Wait a minute. That sounds familiar.
And you talk about, I don't know, really, the next big thing, but you also have to talk about Samsung's craziness.
Yeah, that's what I don't want. Hey, let's see what we missed this week. We had a good week on Twit. Let me just show you some of the highlights.
Previously on Twit, Twit Live Specials.
Where Samsung is expected to announce its brand new phone. And we're giving this the full Apple treatment. And in a way, so is Samsung. First time ever Samsung has launched a phone in the United States.
I think the phone itself, the device, is clearly it's an improvement on the Galaxy S design.
This week in Google.
A decade, Andy Rubin worked on Android. A decade of his life.
I don't think it's anything against Andy Rubin. He's done a magnificent job. But, you know, look at Vic. Vic, right, was all Android and then went on to Chrome, which is a high priority for Google. There is life after life in Google.
Windows Weekly.
It's a new pool game Paul and I have invented. We'll sit in the pool. We won't swim because that's dangerous. You could have a heart attack. And you shout MacGyver, and I'll shout Matlock.
There we go.
What about it, Paul? It'd be great.
I'm crying. No. Paul's crying.
I'm sorry.
Before you buy.
So this is the Samsung Galaxy Victory, which is a budget phone that runs on the Sprint network. And you can notice right away,
It's a bulky phone.
Yeah.
It looks like the old iPhone 3G. Like, it just...
It does.
It's massive. Sprint does offer a ton of other phones that would probably beat the pants off of this thing. If you want the latest and greatest, this isn't it. But if you're looking for a budget phone, not bad.
Twit. Don't make me come back there.
Make sure you watch all week long live at twit.tv. Neil, what was that?
How long did you guys spend on the Galaxy Victory? How much of your life did you spend talking about the Galaxy Victory?
3 minutes, and that was,
I feel
and it
like
was over.
I just spent too long watching that little
play. I know. It was like, that was it. It was done. It was done. We got to review them all. It's just we're trying to get a complete set.
That's really nice of you.
Somebody's got to do it. So what is that word that when you watch something that's embarrassing and then you're embarrassed? Vajayjay? What was it?
Vaja. That's what it's called.
Vaja.
Vaja. I don't know how to spell it.
Like,
but it's
slightly related to Schadenfreude.
What? Yeah, it's like the opposite. It's like the embarrassment of Schadenfreude. How do you spell Vaja?
I'm looking it up. Hold on. I had you guys full screened. let's see here.
Vaja? Yeah.
You get to Vajazzle real quick when you start typing in Vaja.
Yeah, I know. I think I might have to go to the Urban Dictionary for this.
No, you don't want to do that. Chris, that's always the mistake.
Editor of Polygon was telling me about it the other day, and that's what he was saying.
I think he was making it up.
No, it's a real thing. He's sending me all kinds of link.
The chat room doesn't even believe
it. Isn't it just empathy?
Empathy. Yeah, that's empathy.
Wait, but so this is, are you embarrassed that they're embarrassed, or do you feel embarrassed by what you perceive to be embarrassing behavior?
I feel tremendously embarrassed and like hide under covers when I watch television and people get embarrassed and people on TV.
There is a German word for that.
Oh, see,
apparently.
I just feel that way when they start singing. As soon as they start singing, I start to get.
You're describing what it's like when you watch girls.
I love girls, but when she's playing ping pong naked, I get vajayjay or whatever it is.
Right? Yeah. I think that's what we're all describing.
Yeah. Shame felt for actions done by someone else. Fremdscham. It's the new Schadenfreude.
Wow.
Friend. Fremdscham. But that's the German. I don't know where Vaja comes
from.
Shame felt for actions done by someone else.
Yeah.
I love that.
I get that a lot.
Good word still.
Fremdscham.
That's a good word to have. And you're totally right. That's the word that you apply to girls and that Larry David show.
Yeah, Fremdscham for
and
that.
And the UK version of The Office. Like, I can't take it.
No, I spelled it wrong. It's Wahjah. Waja. Embarrassment by proxy.
Oh, okay.
The awkward feeling most pronounced when the person is making a fool of himself is so earnest in what they're doing or saying they don't know.
Where are you reading that? I know where you're reading that. That's the Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, but it's like a thing. It's like a people's.
Yeah. It's going to be a thing when it's on Molly's show.
Yeah.
It's about to be.
Next week on It's a Thing. Vajayjay. Is it a thing? I don't know.
It's funny that it's always the games journalists who tell me about this because they always go to games events and it's like Sony, it's like the Sony's PS4 event was full.
That was
of
that Wahjah, and so was this Samsung Galaxy S4 event.
Wahjah is exactly.
Is it Vajah or Wahjah?
Wahjah.
And where did it come from? What language is that?
I have no idea, man. It came from games journalism, is my guess.
I bet they made it up. It came from the Urban Dictionary.
Yeah.
Let the Eagle Soar was extremely Wahjah when John Ashcroft sang it.
Oh, it was coined on internet message boards, of course.
2007.
Because you need a word for it. What other word?
But, of course, the Germans have had a word for it a long time.
Yeah.
Google Reader, kind of, I don't know. Some say, it was obvious. It was the writing was on the wall. It was inevitable Google would close it. To me, it was like straight out of what? Google's closing Google Reader in July.
Yeah.
People who I think are most upset about this are tech journalists.
No, not tech, totally all journalists. True.
All journalists.
It's all people who deal with media and the press. They're pissed about it.
And yet there is a petition with 100,000 signatures.
That Google will not care about.
Which Google will go, yeah, right. Tell me when it's 100 million signatures, then maybe. Right. They have a Python script that says signatures equal greater than or equal 1 million. Otherwise, it rejects it.
There's been a lot of conversation. Like, I think it's true. I think for normal people, Twitter and Facebook and other social channels have taken over for Reader and RSS. I think that's fine. But Dieter Bohn wrote a big editorial about why RSS is still important for us last week.
A lot of people who are listening to this show are listening on an RSS feed.
Oh, sure. But that's the RSS feed has been repurposed into iTunes or a podcatcher or something,
It's
right?
still an RSS feed.
That's like saying SMTP is important because everyone uses email.
Well, it is.
Well, right, but it's not a front-facing
technology.
That's
how it's presented.
Right. RSS has been generally replaced by a button, whether that button is follow or add to or, you know, the icon.
But it's also a different context. You know, Dave Weiner, who invented RSS or was one of the people who invented RSS, actually had an interesting quote. He said, you know, maybe it's appropriate because the inbox metaphor for content where I've got 3,000 unread articles in my inbox, which is basically what Google Reader tells you. He says, I don't use that anymore. I do the river of news, which is more like Twitter, Facebook, where it's flowing by. I dip in, I read, I move on.
So here's Dieter's point, which I thought was really tremendous. I never thought about it this way. That's great if you're an internet nerd and you spend all day in the river of news looking at stuff and tweeting. And that's real time. And I think real time has replaced a function of RSS, which was here's what's happening right as it's happening.
Right.
But RSS also has a secondary time-shifting DVR for content purpose, which is I'm reading my feeds. Like, what the hell happened today? Like, we publish 50 articles a day on The Verge. Like, you can't get those all in real time because it takes 24 hours to do it. And unless you're watching our site all day, every day, which you should be.
That means you.
Just don't eat, don't sleep.
just keep hitting refresh, man.
How are they going to do that when they're so busy watching CNET?
Oh.
I know, and I hear ABC.
And ABC News.
And ABC News.
You can watch us whenever you want, folks. I don't care.
Well, you've got Twit in a best pop-up window.
Yeah, you do whatever you want with Twit. I don't care.
But really, I think for a lot of people, there is that, which is if you want to follow something and you can't be in real time, which is the vast majority of people, I suspect, RSS fills that role for you. And it's important. And I think Google Reader was so good and served as the underlying foundation for so many other RSS readers. What people are not complaining about, I think, is that Google basically wiped out a market in an instant by saying, we're going to kill Google Reader.
Worse than that, they killed it. They started killing it a year ago. They started taking out features, moving share to Google Plus. If it died, it's because Google actively killed it.
Right, but RSS, that's like saying Google's going to shut down Gmail and the market for email will go away.
Right, the good news. I mean, Feedly has already, they say, signed up 500,000 Google Plus or Google Reader refugees. But it's not quite the same. I mean, I'm looking at my Feedly feed. It's more of a magazine than what I would really like. If I look at my tech news, instead of the articles all being lumped together, they're organized by source. That's not what I want.
Right. You want a big
list.
You want
something more bare bones and techie.
I want a pile of news that I can scan.
Right.
You know?
And I think that, you know, there's a lot of news junkies in the world. And I think the market to replace Google Reader was not a good one. I mean, building a one-for-one replacement for Google Reader while Google Reader existed, I think, was a stupid idea. And I don't think a lot of Silicon Valley entrepreneurs are running around trying to do that. Now that Google Reader is gone, I think the market to try to actually replace that experience for journalists and other news junkies is there. And I will tell you, all of our people use Google Reader. Joanna and Molly, I suspect you do too. Leo, you obviously
every
do.
Tech journalist I know does. Yeah,
I have to confess that I actually don't. I was shocked that they were killing it, and I don't
do
see why.
News?
I go to websites.
Yeah,
and I use Twitter.
I use Twitter now. I mean, Twitter. Really use Google Reader every morning, and Twitter is harder to go back and see what happened, right? Because there's such a flood of stuff. But all day, I used to watch Google Reader, and now I just watch Twitter.
You guys can just read The Verge.
I watch Twitter all day, and I have to admit that some of the stuff they've done around Discover and Discovery is really, really useful to me. It actually has turned into a nice, helpful digest. And then, to be honest, instead of using Google Reader, I use Google News.
Really?
I use Google News or Tech Meme.
Tech Meme is the first place I go.
I'm kind of old, though.
I like the idea of articles being surfaced by interest. So I also use things like Prismatic, these social news readers, Nuzzle, that are designed to kind of surface stuff via Twitter, Facebook, and other social signals based on interest. And that,
right. When I'm not working, I use Flipboard or Pulse.
Flipboard's awesome.
I use 360 to read on my iPad. But I'm during work hours, that's not a great solution.
What's wrong with it for work? Is it too slow.
It's too pretty.
It's just pretty. It's like, that's more of like a lean back. You want to lean, you know, read and look at these photos and maybe go watch a video. When I, like, when I'm at my computer, I'm doing that lean in experience, as everyone's been saying, and I'm copying links and I'm reading and I want to, you know, write or assign something.
By the way, thanks to the chat room, I found a view on Feedly that is closer to my Google News view. If I click all, I'll see all the articles in a chronological fashion. It's much more like Reader.
So, I love the chat room. They're so helpful.
Yeah, so there is an opportunity for third parties like Feedly. Maybe it's not a big business for Google, but 500,000 users, new users, is a big deal for somebody like Feedly.
Right.
Can I ask a question, though, that I've been wondering about this? Like, Google usually kills off products, and it's always like that no one's using them. But in the case of Reader, like, why couldn't they just leave it alone?
Like, I wondered, too. I think I tweeted something about that. Like, how expensive or difficult is it to actually maintain Google Reader and keep it alive? And that's what makes me think it's all about funneling to Google Plus.
I think
Eli has an answer, but I'm not sure we want to hear it.
So here's the thing. Google had no dedicated employees on Google Reader.
None.
For at least the past year.
Zero.
Zero employees running Google Reader. And when it had problems, they would have to divert people from Google Plus onto Reader. And the second thing is that running it isn't, if relative to Google, running it isn't expensive because Google has massive amounts of processing power and data storage and all that. But running a cloud feed service for people is tremendously expensive.
Right.
Just think about
But they're not going to stop running a cloud feed service. They're going to redirect all of
that
delivery into Google Plus.
That's really what happened here is Google saying, we want you to use Google Plus, even if it's a poor fit, even if it's completely different. And you know what? Nobody freaking uses Google Plus. Can we just acknowledge that?
Yeah.
I use it to share because apparently it's better for search.
That's exactly why I use it.
Yeah. So Google has strong-armed you into using it.
Every company, every journalist, and every personality is using Google Plus because the second that you post something there, you instantly get a Google News result with your name in it or your company name in it. Because and if you want more proof that they are gaming their own results and their own search results, you need look no farther than the one-to-one response from posting something on Google Plus to seeing a Google News alert.
Yeah, and don't judge us for being SEO
whores.
Okay.
Wow. And now a captivating discussion about sexism and technology.
That's not sexist.
SEO.
Sexist.
I don't. SEO. As sexy. Is that a word? Sexy-o?
Sexy-o.
S-whores?
So I don't use Google Plus. Maybe I should start. Just for the SEO benefit. I will say this.
Sometimes there's good conversation.
There is, because
people are making fun of me, but it's totally fine.
So few people use Google Plus that it's an intelligent bunch of people, and it's the best way to see what Google people are doing.
Right. And lots of guys. It's a very male-centric audience into tech.
Yeah. I do get proposed to pretty often on Google Plus, actually.
Yeah, what do they say? Will you marry me, or is it a different kind of proposition?
No, it's usually will you marry me, but then there's a lot of them that are in non-English character languages that might be dirtier, but I don't really know.
They say you plus me equals us.
That's really good.
A little Google Plus math.
I love you.
Well, what this shows...
S plus S equals... You plus S equals us.
Oh. It totally does equal us. Joanna's smart.
There's no I
Joanna's
in us.
She's an in-house marketing position.
Joanna's good at math.
What was the phrase? Wait a minute. Samsung had a phrase that they were using as their marketing line.
Oh, their tagline was terrible. Life companion.
Oh, yeah. That was the thing that we were all making fun of before the 1950s ladies came out.
Is that like a pillow that I'm going to marry?
So I have a theory about this, and I have this book in my shelf over there. I don't remember who wrote it, but it's called The Conquest of Cool. And it's all about – it's basically about Mad Men era advertising.
Yeah. And I got to read that.
The counterculture in the 60s was subsumed into advertising in America. So irony became the dominant mode of American and thus Western communication, right? Everything – we're too cool for everything, and hitting something right on the nose doesn't, like, work for American consumers and American taste because the counterculture is so dominant. So you have to be ironic or sarcastic or funny or whatever. I think Samsung's presentation and Broadway, it's a combo effect, are sort of immune to this, right? It's they're big and they're cheesy and they're brave and they're not brave. They're bold in how earnest they are. And I think there was a lot. I think Life Companion is an example of that. You know, when I was in Dubai a few years ago, and I just remember seeing the billboards for real estate, and it would straight up be like, "Buy this condo, and your life will improve." And thinking to myself, that would never fly in America. But it's just the lack of irony. And I said it in my live blog at the S4 event a few times. There's no irony here. There's this like camp self-awareness, but there's no sense of detachment or cynicism about the product. They really think it's your life companion and that waving at your phone will improve your life. And I that's the sense I'm getting from all of what Samsung is doing right now, is it's so earnest and so on the nose direct about what they're trying to accomplish that they're missing. They're floating over the sense of irony that I think we all have about how we're marketed to.
Well, and I think they could have gone with earnest, right? I mean, you can't say that Apple's presentations are not a little bit earnest, or at least
they're very earnest. Yeah,
I mean, they're extremely earnest, and they really are promising this incredible thing. I mean, Samsung's language, it's true, and I think that sometimes the language or the presentation does make Americans feel a little uncomfortable because it is sort of right in your face and really lovey. But I almost felt like, if anything, they were trying too hard to be sort of ironic and self-aware in this particular presentation. It's weird because sometimes Samsung, when they nail it with advertising, they really nail it. And they did manage to build up this reserve of cool.
That
line campaign was absolutely brilliant. But then when they don't nail it, when they do these sort of, you know, they'll do these weird like YouTube campaigns where the people are all really white and they're all on the verge of singing. And it's just like, what are you? Whoa. Like for the one that they did for the phone that had the projector built in, where it is unbelievably earnest. And it almost feels like, and it's very likely, actually, they have two totally different ad agencies working on this kind of thing. Yeah. Many, many different. Yeah. But they need to like just centralize on the one that has the little cool factor, because the reason that Apple wins is cool.
Right.
And I think this is, and I don't want to veer too far into this, but I think there is a big difference in tone and content when Samsung US and Samsung Mobile US are speaking to US consumers, and they're the ones behind the line ads, for examples. And when Samsung headquarters in Korea is doing the top-down speaking. And, you know, I don't know.
That makes sense.
Samsung has 500 ad agencies and 300 PR people, and it's a joke in the tech press about how disorganized and disconnected all of these different pieces can be when you're dealing with them. But I suspect that some of this wild disparate tone comes from, here's one regional organization doing this versus another regional organization, and the reality behind it, I don't know if anybody will ever figure out until like the one disgruntled Samsung marketing manager comes forward and speaks about it, because it seems like it's chaos. Yeah, exactly.
I'm ordering this book, by the way.
I gotta say, though, I didn't have even though it was kind of cheesy, I didn't have a terrible, I think my phones kind of are my life companions. So that could have been a theme done right. That would have resonated me. I'm just saying, we go to bed together. Like, it's, you know.
We sleep with our phones.
Me and my phones are really tight.
I eat breakfast every morning.
They're right there next to the bed.
Yeah, you know what? That's depressing, but I think it's true.
That could have worked. That could have worked if they did it right. Yeah.
U plus S equals us. I'm just saying that's going to happen tomorrow morning.
U plus S equals us.
Yeah. Who's going to do it for Samsung or for Google Plus? Or for me?
Oh, now we're mixing the message here. By the way, Thomas Frank, The Conquest of Cool, Business Culture, Counterculture, and the Rise of Hip Consumerism, $11.90 on Amazon. You liked
it? And this guy just became a sponsor for the show.
No, I just want to, I'm going to buy it.
I'm going to buy it.
No, he's getting a great plug.
This is like you want me to reveal too much about myself? I love reading books about America when I'm not in America. And that was one of the ones I read on a trip. And it was great.
And what do you read when you are in America?
That I go to bed with
America,
my phone.
I read Google Plus.
Is your big reveal?
Slate created on Friday after the close of Google Reader, or the announced close of Google Reader, the Google Graveyard. It's hard to lose a loved one, especially if that loved one is a Google service. You can plant flowers on the graves and let the healing process begin. Like, I'm going to plant a flower on Google Reader. That'll make 32,574 flowers. iGoogle, not so much. Google Labs, yeah, I kind of miss Google Labs. Google Wave, not so much. Google Video, yeah. Google Desktop. No. In fact, Google had a lot of crap, didn't they?
Google Video got subsumed into YouTube.
Yeah, that was YouTube. A sad
it's
thing.
Born bad. It's like,
actually, you know what? I'm going to put a flower on that grave too. Isn't this good?
Who made this site?
This is from Slate.
Also, great. Man, Google, really, like, this is this.
How was that?
Wow.
There's a lot of stuff here I know. Google Fast Flip.
Yeah, not so many flowers in that one. It's interesting. Never heard of that. You can really tell.
Is Frugal on there?
Oh, I'm sure Frugal's here. Frugal. Let's see. There's Null.
Frugal. Really
Jaiku. Oh, I got to put a flower on Jaiku.
Oh, Jaiku.
Yeah.
I totally remember when everybody was doing that for like a week.
And here, look, they've already dug the grave for Google Glass.
That is not cool at all.
That's amazing.
That's great.
That is also S-bull. I heart Google Glass. I can't even wait for that.
Really, Mollywood? Really? You're going to go around wearing it? First of all, you don't wear glasses.
Nope.
So you're going to wear glasses just so you can do that?
Yep.
Many of us had LASIK surgery, wear contacts, have gone to great expense not to wear glasses.
Yeah, I wear contacts too.
Yeah.
Contacts.
Yeah. So, Google is so persuasive that you're now going to go back to wearing glasses?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that retinal implant is coming.
And you know what will happen when I'm wearing those glasses? I will totally set myself apart as like a member of the awesome.
Yeah, because nobody's going to let you into anywhere. You won't be able to go to a bar, a gym, a club. They're going to say, glass. Really,
it's true. The privacy.
I don't go to any of those places anyway.
Yeah, you're just going to be at home with your cat.
Yeah, I don't have a cat.
You mean my phones.
Yeah, with my life companions. I'm just going to be doing my normal thing with my life companions.
I can't wait for the first twit where the entire panel, including me, because I have the reservation, is wearing glass. And we're all looking a little bit off camera to the right and up and distracted.
Yeah.
That's going to be.
It's not going to be the snappiest conversation.
No. And Google announced the first apps now for Google Glass, which make no sense at all. The New York Times.
Yeah, they really make no sense.
Come on, I'm not going to.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't want to consume media. The only apps I want are the ones that are currently part of the Google Now cards, because those Google Now cards
is cool.
Rock my world. What? Like, I love how that phone, it knows me so well, my life companion. Yeah. It will pop up a little thing that says, like, it'll be like, hey, sweetie, I thought you need to know that there's a traffic jam during your commute hour.
Wait,
so you
I
might
have
want
a question.
To get a little extra
Molly,
and that's
Molly,
what that's what they're just, doing.
Yeah.
Let me just ask
that's
you.
That's what they're doing. So, they built the whole UI.
I want that.
Wait, Molly, so in your mind, your Google Now's voice is a very well-meaning, like, Minnesotan mother.
Hey, honey.
That's what I heard. Hey, sweetie.
No, it's her
just
mother.
I want you to know that there's a special on soup.
That's your mother. That's her mother.
So, sweetie, you know, I went ahead and I got you a Frappuccino because I know you're going to be in the car for a while.
No, I got it. I see what Google Now's doing for you. It's cool. Hey, did you wear a blazer today? It's going to be
cool. Are you from Minnesota, Molly?
North Dakota. I went to high school in North Dakota.
Oh, my God. You are Fargo.
Yeah. Oh, I come by it honestly. You know, this is not put on. This is the real me.
You actually do look like you could be wearing a parka, and I could see you there.
Oh, heck yeah. I can shovel your driveway in about 10 minutes flat there if you need me to.
Got it.
It's a thing.
That's great.
Wow.
It's true that whenever I emulate any kind of caring voice, it always comes out that way.
It's your mother. That's why.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Don't you know? It's my mom.
Does your mom watch all your shows?
Oh, heck no.
Does she even know what you do?
Not totally. Sometimes when I put it on the Facebook, she'll go ahead and like it.
She does that computer thing. It's I don't know what she's in the California now. Yeah, doing that computer thing.
My parents only engage with what I do when I go on CNN.
Yeah.
Like, it's something that I've learned.
Well, that's real media. That's why Joanna Stern's parents are so damn proud.
I will say that I get a lot of emails from my parents' friends.
We saw you on TV. You were fabulous.
We saw you talking about a phone in a cab. Hear that a lot.
Totally. That's amazing.
New York Times... Evernote, again, something I don't really want to look at.
Evernote would be helpful.
I guess if it's send to Evernote, like send that to Evernote.
It does.
Send that to Evernote. That's the gesture.
Okay, Glass. Yeah. Send to Evernote.
Glass. I want to remember this one. That's what you do.
Add that chick to my Evernote. Put her in.
That would be awesome.
Hotties.
And if I was like I have an Evernote SX6 list for wines I like. So if I'm at the store and I can just be like,
oh, that's good.
Pull me up.
That's good.
Yeah. Evernote's useful. Yeah.
You'll be that crazy person in the aisle.
Yes.
waving at wine.
Talking to herself, waving. Yeah, yeah, I like that wine. That's good wine. I like that wine. Definitely good wine. Definitely good wine.
Oh, he keeps doing this.
That's what you do. You wipe you swipe your temple, don't you?
Yeah, there's a touch sensor in the temple.
Yeah. Well, I'm not making it up. I've seen people, crazy people, do that.
Now swiping you off the screen.
But the glasses, see, the problem, you're confusing it with if I had the implant, then that would look weird.
Ooh, I would
just
like the implant.
Be waving and moving my eyes. But if I have the glasses, they immediately mark me as a member of the Digerati.
And they're so very attractive.
Now,
if they put it in a hat, I'd wear it. I like hats. So Evernote, New York Times, Gmail, so you can get your mail. That's good. And Path, so you
and
can
path.
Let your imaginary friends know what you're doing. It's good for taking pictures of food.
Let your three friends on Path know.
Yeah. I'm your friend. I'm your friend on Path.
I was excited about Path because then it would remind me that I have to use Path.
You never post on Path, Joanna.
I never post on Path.
Well, I'm following you and expecting something. I want something. I want to see a picture of something. Just put a picture.
When I get my glass, I'll remember to use it.
Maybe that'll be suddenly everybody will be hot air ballooning and taking kayak rides through the rapids. Yeah. It'll be so great.
No, everything, if you're a social network user and you live in California, you're always having adventures.
Right.
It's just the way it goes.
That somebody That's said that. It's going to be the photo record of the 1%.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, that is hurtfully true.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that's
Rich Kids on Instagram is going to be revolutionized by Google Glass.
I love Rich Kids on Instagram, by the way. That is so awesome. I get the JJ when I look at that one, too.
No, that wasn't.
I don't know if that's appropriate.
Cricket.
I do not think that word means what you think it means. Let's take a break. And I'm going to look up Rich Kids on Instagram and talk about stamps right now. Instagram.
Oh, I love when stamps.com is ready. I love this one.
There's a rich kid. He's got, Dom Perignon and a drawer full of euros.
Yeah,
Oh,
some sort of currency.
Beach muscles. Don't forget the beach muscles.
And the beach muscles. Yeah, and he hates his life.
Yeah.
Here I am with a magnum of champagne at my indoor swimming pool, and I hate my life. That's what's best about these. These people are so unhappy.
Oh, because they're all alone.
Here's my lonely dog because my yard is too damn big. I've got a strange hat on, and my girlfriend looks like an Indian princess.
Oh, wow. Have you ever hated some people more than them?
Oh, back in my yard, we have our yard is so big, we have a special vehicle for navigating it. I'm just Euro trash with a big tub.
Ooh,
nice watch. Big. Oh God, what is this? This is so the guy Instagrams his bar bill.
That's bottle service.
Service.
By the way, hashtag 1% right there is amazing. That is so choice.
Just follow the hashtag 1%. So he has a $6,043 bottle bill. What is it?
That's euros on top of that. So
it's euros. So it's roughly $9 million.
So that's $6,000.
Can we just look at this receipt for 1 second? So you've got the Ace of Spades, which I believe is it's Jay-Z's booze, right? So that's
£10,000 worth of Ace of Spades.
So that's, and then you've got five for $3,000. And then you've got 13 Red Bull for €65.
Oh, who's drinking that? Ooh.
Strawberry daiquiri.
Strawberry daiquiri. I love it.
That sounds so good right now.
That's for the girl.
There's a girl there. It's all guys and one girl.
Tell Samsung that sounds really good to me. Yeah. And they can build that into their next trip.
I would love a strawberry daiquiri right now, Samsung.
Right? Molly, we are really living up the stereotype right now.
Yeah.
Is that Snoop Dogg's bar?
Let me put on my lip balm.
Have you guys ever had a Miami Vice? Let me just ask you this.
By the way, he cut the tip in half, so he's double douchebag.
Yeah.
Oh.
Serious question. Have you ever had a Miami Vice?
No. What's that made out of?
Miami Vice.
One half strawberry daiquiri, one half pina colada.
I've had that.
In one glass?
One glass.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's good. It's really good.
Really?
Go-to beach resort drink.
By the way, I just want to report that I when you drink green beer, it does not turn into green pea. I just found out.
Mm. Where? How did you just find
out? While you were talking, Eli, I ran out to.
No, he didn't even leave the set. I'm not gonna lie.
I got a jar. I got a catheter in a jar. That's all.
What is going on under the table?
Nothing is going on under the table. Nothing.
Tell us later. Report later about
Joanna. Do you like stamps? Did you actually say I like it when you do a stamps ad? Did you actually say that?
I do.
Why?
Because I like the idea of customizing your stamps.
Yeah, it's very cool. So you don't have to go to the post office to buy stamps anymore. You can print. By the way, you could print forever stamps. You could print your stamps right now from your computer, your printer. You do not need a postage meter. Don't let them tell you that you need a postage. You don't. You don't need special ink. You just need stamps.com and what you've already got, your computer and your printer. And you can print right on the envelope. You can print your logo. You can print little fairy hearts and stuff if you want. You can intertwine, little things around it. You can have your return address automatically printed. It'll even pull the address of the person you're mailing to from your QuickBooks, your business accounting, or your address book on your computer. Or if you sell on eBay or Etsy or PayPal or anything like that, it'll pull it from there too. It's really for people, mailing professionals. It's a pro tip for people who do a lot of mailing. And I got a special deal for you. If you go to stamps.com and you see Callie Lewis there, but don't know, I got a better deal than Callie. Go over on the right there where it says $80. No, click that microphone and enter in our special TWIT code, TWIT. Whoa, what did they do? They changed it. Where's the code? Whoa, did you click the microphone?
I did. Click here. Now it's here. How did you hear about us? And you have to click promo code and then add.
Oh, okay. TWIT. Now it's going to make it hard for you to show because you have to fill out that form.
I might.
Yeah. Maybe not. Yeah. See? Oh, well, that's too bad, Stamps. I'd like to show you my special offer, but they've hidden it. So here's the deal. If you click that microphone, you can get a $55 in free postage over the first 3 months of your account. You get a free digital scale. This is it right here. Beautiful. This is a USB scale. So you plop the letter or package, any class of mail on that, and it automatically calculates the right postage. $5 supply kit and a 4-week trial of stamps.com. It's a $110 bonus value. All you got to do is use the offer code TWIT. You will know it when you see my face. Then you'll know you're in the right place. Stamps.com. Print postage right from your computer. Never go to the post office again. By the way, you don't have to even bring the packages or whatever. They come and get them. There's a guy or a gal that goes around every day from door to door, and they'll pick your stuff up. Stamps.com. That joke went over like a lead balloon. All right. We've done Rich Kids of Instagram. Google I.O. is coming up. Are you all going to Google I.O.? Big developer conference?
Yes.
They're going to give out something, right? They gave out last year. You got a Chrome box. You got a Google Q. You have the opportunity to buy glass for $1,500. This year, yep. Who knows what you're going to get.
When is Google I.O. again?
Are you going to go?
I think it might be somewhere
for
that.
It's like May 15th or something.
Yeah.
May 14th.
Yeah, I gotta book some hotel rooms. It's a fun event.
I like it. You know what? If you're going.
It is a fun event.
If you're going, we're going to do this week in Google from there. Just come on over and say hi, and we'll interview you. We'll talk to you because it's going to be a lot of fun. Now is, we're pretty sure, going to be available, Google Now, for Chrome OS and Windows, which means that Now is going to be everywhere. And I like it.
What is the value of Now and not a mobile device, though? That's a good question.
Because it knows your commute and you're about ready to leave and you're on your desktop and it says you better leave early. That's valuable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering because I think we all need another
weather widget.
That's true.
I can't never have enough of weather widgets. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's weird. I wouldn't mind it if I were working, popping up like ticket reminders.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost creepy how it's stocking. It's creepy how it stocks everything that I search for. But I do search for, sporting events or music or bands I like or whatever.
Molly, we know you like Justin Bieber. We wanted to let you know he's going to be performing in your area in 2 months and tickets go on sale in a minute.
Oh, my gosh. Is he coming to Oracle?
Oh, I love him. He's such a nice boy. Actually, I think that was his bottle bill, by the way.
Probably.
Probably.
And those friggin' pictures on that site are him.
Do you think people are creeped out by Google Now?
I'm not creeped out by Google now.
I don't even care that
they're selling my info to the drones just in case the drones want to take me out. Like, I don't care. It is that useful. I love when I'm in a location and it's like, hey, there's three restaurants near you. And I'm like, thank you. That's awesome. I picked one. I love it.
You just said that drones take you out and you actually meant like shoot you down. But I think I was picturing like you going out with a bunch of drones.
Because all of my life companions Molly's are mechanical.
It's come to this. Molly's dating drones now.
And you're like out with them and with your Google Now phone, with your life companions and them.
Drones are really good boyfriends. They know everything about you.
Man, hashtag team drone. Hashtag team life companion.
And hashtag 1%.
Yeah, because drones are not cheap.
No. That's right.
No.
They don't date just any old trash.
Which one is the werewolf?
Only high-value targets.
Good. Wow.
Do you think there are those people, though, that are paranoid enough that they think that the drones will target you because you've got Google Now running?
No, I think that they're passing on the information on a just-in-case basis.
Hey, Becky.
I'm joking. I'm totally, they're not doing it.
Now I believe you. I'm scared. Big you said crickets. That so seriously.
Well, I mean, you know, there's no question that Google Now is gathering a lot of information that, you know, it's sharing. I mean, but Google is, right?
So is
Google,
everybody.
Yeah, but Google, more than anyone, if you read Inside the Plex, I think you should be deeply creeped out, but in a way that's sort of just like, well, what am I going to do? But Google could definitely build the digital copy of me that would be indistinguishable from me. They know that much about me.
I have to say this. I just asked my wife if it would be cool if I called her a high-value target. And I got a very silent, very not.
She said no? No?
No.
That's not going
to like go back to talking into the computer.
You're really SVT, babe.
No. Yep. So apparently Google Now is coming to iOS. It's one thing iOS has not had, but there was a video leak on YouTube, which was immediately pulled down, which in my mind confirms its veracity 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I expected it to be announced the next day.
Yeah,
but this one, the value of Google Now on Android is it's there and it's like useful and it's. I'm convinced that Google Now will eventually be the home screen of Android, right?
Yes,
or the home screen of whatever mobile. And they're building up to that functionality.
Absolutely. Well, they already have a widget. You could make it your home screen if you have an up-to-date Android. They already have a widget, so you could actually already do that.
Right, but having to open an app on iOS, I think, removes a little bit of
There's no widgets on iOS.
Right. And there's no background processing.
Right.
Unless it goes into it'll probably pop up in notifications, and then you have to go into
It's a notification. Yeah,
there's no better way to sort and filter notifications than iOS's notification center.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just
it's amazing. Just try it.
There are some real things I miss about Android. I mean, I really, really miss it.
You don't like how all the notifications on your iOS notification screen are 3 to 5 weeks out of date? Ugh. That's not your favorite thing?
And it's such a pain. The target to close and clear them is this big. And I know you have lady fingers, but even then, it's really tiny.
No, even my lady fingers, I can't hit the target. And it's just, I feel like my Gmail notifications are never coming up right. It's just, I miss a lot of things.
The Gmail, the mail delivery is just, I mean, the reason that I actually use the Nexus 4 more than the iPhone, I mean, way, way more than the iPhone, is strictly about Gmail delivery. Like, I have 3 different Gmail accounts, and I just cannot reliably get mail on the iOS device. Like, it's just, I feel like Jelly Bean makes iOS look so tired that it's gotten almost embarrassing.
Yeah. But then
you've got a lot of work to do.
But that camera is so good.
Yeah, the camera. And the apps. I mean, the main reason I actually finally switched was I was sick of carrying around another iPhone to test apps. Because any of the new apps are first coming to iOS. It's still the case. And still, I'd rather use some of these apps. Like, they look nicer, they're easier to use, and I find that that lag still happens in a lot of Android apps. Yeah. So there's no perfect solution.
My perfect solution is carrying them both. Yeah. I just think I'm going to trade the Nexus 4 for the Note 2. Or maybe wait for the Note 3.
I'm carrying a BlackBerry Z10, an iPhone iOS 5, and a Galaxy Note 2. And as soon as
I'm going to carry a Z10 and a Bold. I think that is going to be the solution.
Boom.
It's the new dual BlackBerry solution.
Boom.
Wow, that is terrible.
I love that girl.
I'm just joking.
She's just doing it to confuse the drones. That's all.
Only this iPad mini could make calls.
You know what? You're safe, though, because I bet the drones are not targeting BlackBerry.
I bet you're right. Actually, all high-value targets carry BlackBerries. Seriously. Actually, that's true.
The chat room has gone straight up hashtag HBT, by the way, which is like rocking my world.
I love the chat room. So what do HBO and Twit have in common? We'll tell you in just a moment. But first, I want to remind you that if it's time to get rid of your Z10 or maybe upgrade your iPhone 5, 5S, maybe get a new iPad, don't forget you can get money for your old stuff at gazelle.com. G-A-Z-E-L-L-E will give you cash, American dollar, for your old stuff. In fact, you can go to gazelle.com right now and get a 30-day quote on everything. I presume we're going to see some new hardware pretty soon. And maybe you're thinking, I don't know. I want to see the S4 before I buy it. Well, get the quote now on your old phone. And that quote's good for 30 days, giving you plenty of time to look at the S4, to decide whether to buy it, to transfer your data over, then send it off. Look, here's my my old S3 in good shape, no water damage. What would Gazelle give me for that S3? $177. Bingo. Now, the best part is they'll send you a prepaid, postage-paid box. You throw it in the box with a lot of other stuff. And then on the return trip, you get money. You can either get a check, a PayPal credit if you want it right away, or my recommendation, get the Amazon gift card because they bump that 5%. Gazelle buys phones. They buy Mac computers. They buy a variety of stuff. Visit gazelle.com. Get the quote now because the quote is good for 30 days. And I can guarantee you one thing. That phone is not gaining in value. Absolutely not. It's worth less every single day. It's not an antique yet, folks. It's got no nostalgia value whatsoever. What's my iPad 3 worth? I'll take it. $185. Oh, that's an iPad 2.
That's an iPad 2.
Even better.
Wi-Fi only.
Wow. Gosh, that's like half the value of it.
I know.
Wow. Gazelle.com, they've paid out over $50 million to 500,000 customers. Maybe you're next. Gazelle.com. So thank you, EdBot, for noticing this and making me feel so much better. Microsoft, maybe you know this, in Windows 8, in the Metro browser, they block Flash unless you're on a whitelist. And they switched that this week to having a blacklist. So in the past, if you went to a Flash site in the Metro version of Internet Explorer, you would either be able to run it or not, depending on whether it was on this whitelist. So they updated it, and now they have a blacklist, and there are only 12 domains that Flash will not run on. HBO and Twit are two of the 12. Oh. So bizarre.
Is ABC on that?
No. HBO, a Russian site, On24. I don't know why we're on this list. EdBot did the digging. There's a little XML file that has the blacklist. It contains only a dozen domain names. Presumably, they'll add to that later. And it's mainly focused on Flash and ARM, Windows RT, and the Surface RT. My Surface broke. I dropped it.
Well, let me ask you, do you have an HTML5 solution?
We do. So if you go to twit.tv, the player will say, oh, well, I can do it this way. But I just find it bizarre that I'm in this group and that HBO is in this group.
But I think HBO has an HTML5 solution as well, no?
So maybe but there's plenty of HTML5 companies out there. I mean, there's more than 12. Why these 12?
Weird.
I mean, I'm just saying my guess is that they evaluate. I'm literally just guessing. But they evaluate and they said the HTML5 solution is better than Flash here. We'll just push them to Flash. We'll push them to HTML5.
Yeah. Works fine on Windows 8. I tried it. But on RT... Yeah. And fortunately, we have an HTML5 solution. You'll be shunted over. The live stream does not work. So if you want to watch live, we can only do it in Flash right now.
Interesting.
So they hate us, I think, is the reasonable conclusion. And
maybe because you broke your Surface.
They hate Game of Thrones. And anybody who hates me and Game of Thrones is off my list.
I have another speculation, Leo.
What is it, Jay?
It's that... probably one of our viewers noticed that the live stream was broken and then they emailed Microsoft. And so now Microsoft is like, oh, yeah, no, we don't have a solution. Let's just go ahead and blacklist it. And that's why this list is so small.
It's a weird list,
is
too.
Is that I believe that a viewer probably contacted Microsoft.
Well,
and
whoever
Microsoft
did
went,
that, knock it out.
No.
Briggs & Riley, which makes bags.
Luggage.
Is on here.
News24.jp,
on24.com, tnt-online.ru, and me. CNET never has problems like this, Molly Wood. ABC never has problems like this. The Verge, Joshua Topolsky's beautiful talk show never has problems. What about? I don't understand it.
By the way, have you ever been to HBO's corporate website? It's homeboxoffice.com.
Ooh, like it not, is the not, most, not,
it know, is the most amazing website in the world.
What? Really? Yeah, this is not just, for just this is not for you to watch HBO, but this is their corporate. Oh my God. That's horrible. That's horrible.
What is it?
They just
box
totally
office?
Let it go.
First of all,
homeboxoffice.com.
First of all, they haven't called themselves home box office in years. It doesn't stretch all the way across the screen, so it's obviously not mobile responsive design. It looks like the text is in different fonts.
Yeah, this doesn't surprise me.
There's a drop shadow that goes up.
Everything about it's great.
That is full of
it. I love that it has hours of operation. That's my favorite part of it. It's 3 a.m. to midnight. So between midnight and 3, you guys are screwed. Daily maintenance on the website.
What the hell? What is this? That is bizarre.
Yeah, it's the best.
How did you find that? That's hysterical.
Somebody just showed it to me one time. It's because every other part of HBO is so smart and savvy, and HBO Go is so much better than, like, the Showtime
app.
Maybe
this is what Microsoft's blocking.
Yeah.
3 a.m. to midnight.
Midnight
Monday
to
Sunday. Every day of the week, we close from 3 a.m. to midnight. Wait a minute. That means they're open. They're only open 3 hours?
No, it's
midnight.
They're
only closed 3 hours.
Oh, they're closed 3 hours. That's confusing. Yeah, it says hours of operation, Monday through Sunday, 3 a.m. to midnight Eastern time.
Yeah.
Then it says,
midnight to 3.
And then it says, and we'll be unavailable from midnight to 3 a.m. Eastern for maintenance.
Because they've been maintaining that daily. obviously.
You know what? This is a fake. Maybe this is a fake.
I don't think it's a fake. I think that's what big corporate media websites look like.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amazing.
That is really fun. I think it was written by.
Yeah, I know something. Joanna, how often does ABC close for maintenance? No.
She can't say anything. The gag order is issued.
They're never close for maintenance, but.
I gotta tell you.
I've seen sites that look like this.
I am excited about the new Roku 3. Just got it. It's one of the features I really like. It has a headphone jack and the remote, which is bizarre, but I don't know why nobody ever thought of this. So I can listen to my headphones through the remote, and it works great. Sounds good.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's really cool.
But the thing that's most interesting is there is a Time Warner cable app. Now, I'm not a Time Warner customer, so I haven't tried it. Zachary Seward, writing for Quartz, points out that you can watch everything, including live TV. It is a set-top box for Time Warner cable.
They're all going this
way. Time Warner cable subscription.
But you don't need to rent a Time Warner box anymore. You don't even need to have a cable connection. All you need is internet, and this will make your TV do everything, including live TV, that a Time Warner cable box will do.
But you can do this on an Xbox DVR? Right now.
You can?
I mean, Xbox has I have a Fios app on my Xbox. It's bad.
Well, that's Fios, though.
There's a Comcast app and a Time Warner app. And, like, the problem has never been the technology or the UI or the delivery. The problem is the content deals. So the shows you're watching on Time Warner, they're licensed for delivery over Time Warner's pipes, literally over cable. And when they say we want to deliver it over the internet, their licenses don't allow them to do
right.
that. So they've got years and years of legal shenanigans to go through to get the licenses to deliver over IP. So it's there. It's cool. But it's the same kind of limited app as what's available right now on the Xbox.
It doesn't solve your cord. It doesn't make you a cord cutter because you still need a Time Warner. Same thing with the HBO Go app. You still have to have a cable company.
Right.
By the way.
Because HBO doesn't own a lot of that. You know, they don't own that content apart from their original series. So they're doing a lot of work. I talk to these guys all the time. And they want to do the work. They know that the answer is there. What they say to me is we go to the content companies and the VP in Hollywood is sitting there saying, if I bet on you, the only thing that can happen is that I lose my job. because this won't bring in the guaranteed revenue that selling this stuff to the cable companies the way that we already do does. Right. And that's like reality. But it's cool. It's very cool, but it's not quite what you might think it is.
All right. How many of you, show of hands, Veronica Mars fans? One person. Two. We got some people in the live studio.
Molly, I think you're muted, by the way.
Molly, are you a Veronica? She's just talking, but nobody hears her.
Oh, I've totally been muted all this time. I've been saying these really interesting things.
I was wondering. I haven't heard from you in an hour.
They were like hilarious. I know. Well, I just thought it was because everyone else was talking or I was doing that ducking thing again. No, that was totally me. I had it on mute. I was being polite. The muting.
So Kristen Bell, who is very cute and is now in that Showtime show, which I love with Don Cheadle, about management consultants. But she was in Veronica Mars. Did you watch that show?
I never watched it.
Nobody.
I'm going to start watching it now, though. I mean,
yeah, because
now that I know about the great love.
Because
I'm like,
it's like
my new Buffy. I'm in.
They raised $3 million on Kickstarter to make a movie out of it. In fact, enough to actually say we're gonna do it. Somebody at an interesting article said this is the end of Kickstarter. This is the end of television. This is the end of everything. Life is over as we know it. Because why would anybody? There it is. Did Veronica Mars ruin Kickstarter? Why would anybody now put up money for a movie when you can get poor schmucks on the internet to kick in with no participation?
Why is everybody on the internet such a downer?
Yeah.
What?
Why would that have to ruin Kickstarter, for God's sake? Why can't there still be movies that get greenlit legitimately and that Kickstarter could become a way to prove viability for media ideas that might be otherwise hard to sell?
Yeah,
can't everybody just all get along?
$3.6 million is not a lot of money.
It's not enough to do the movie, actually, probably. They'll have to get some money from a movie company. And you also have to get distribution. You got to get marketing dollars. It's not enough.
Well, Tom and I talked about this on an upcoming episode, actually, of It's a Thing. And he was saying that the movie studios, essentially, that the message they gave to the makers was, we're interested in the movie, but we don't know that there's enough interest. So if you can raise some money on Kickstarter, if you can raise $2 million, we will greenlight it and you know, match it or put in more money. So it's going to, you know, I think the movie will cost more than that to make, but it proves interest in a way that I think is useful. In fact, I'm thinking, like, I want to put Jericho up.
12,910 people put $50 up for this. Now, they understand they're not getting anything. They're not even getting guaranteed that the movie will be made. They'll get a DVD of the movie, but if it's made.
Well, you know, Kickstarter is building some massive new headquarters here in New York, and one of the reasons it's so massive is they're building a screening room. I mean, funding movies and TV shows and other kinds of media is actually the predominant use of Kickstarter. So for something mainstream or closer to mainstream to go this route, it's not surprising. And I don't know why this would be the end of Kickstarter. This is actually, I think, Kickstarter hitting a point where the studios are taking notice of it as a platform rather than doing whatever they were doing before and like doing petition drives to bring back Buffy or whatever.
Right.
Did that happen? I don't know if that ever happened.
What, the bring back or the petition drive?
I'm sure there was a petition drive. Yeah. By the way, this
I'm sure there was. There always is.
This HBO site, just to add to it, is a SharePoint template.
It's real good. Nice. It's real. Somebody just sent me the Whois results for it.
It's real. And it's a SharePoint template. All right. So this is wonderful news that Veronica Mars raised $3.6 million and probably will raise more.
Also, if you go to the Wayback Machine, it looks better in 1997 version than it does now.
It's a lot cleaner.
That is a
lot
cleaner.
If you do it today, you just start moving the furniture around, really. I mean.
How embarrassing. I love that they call it their B2B site, too.
B2B.
This is our B2B site.
B2B. I think that's enough.
Are we done?
I think we need to discuss Samsung more time.
I have corned beef and cabbage waiting for me, so I'm going to have to.
Dinner smells good here, too.
My Google Now app made me corned beef and cabbage for dinner.
Oh, your little plastic pal who's fun to be.
I got to take my HVT to dinner.
That means the Happy Valentine's template or something. Thank you, Neelai Patel, TheVerge.com. Always great to talk to you. Appreciate your insights and your knowledge. Come
always
back
great to be on, man.
Real be soon. Here. Molly Wood, of course, is always on. That's the name of her show. Was it CNET.com/always on, right?
Yes, yes, it is.
And it's a thing, Dodge.
And she's a thing.
Me. She's a thing. She's a Stepford drone.
I'm an always on thing drone. Drone thing.
Always. I can't believe it's been so long. Please come back soon.
I would love to. It would be my pleasure.
Great, Molly. Thank you. Joanna Stern, we adore you too. All three of you. Some of my favorite panelists. Smart, funny, and nice nails, by the way, Joanna. Really nice nails.
I know. Are we going to discuss Samsung one last time?
One last time. Like... what do you think? Samsung. Is it a thing?
S good.
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
It's something.
S, for better, S a thing.
For better or worse, man, it's a thing.
S a thing.
Yeah. ABC TV, ABC News. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We do Twit Sunday afternoons, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time. That's 2200 UTC after the time change at twit.tv. Watch live if you're not using Surface RT. And if you are, well, we make on-demand versions after the fact, audio and video available at twit.tv and everywhere podcasts are aggregated. Thank you so much for being here. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Don't drink too much green beer. We'll see you next time. Another Twit is in the can.